Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
When I was a little boy, my dad got me a transistor radio, and I always used to listen to Paul Harvey, news and commentary, and it was just that incredible voice and that cadence and the kinds of stories he told, that Americana. And it really was inspirational, and it really influenced who I was going to become as a broadcaster.
I listen to Todd Starnes because he speaks to the conservative values that I was raised on. He's not afraid to tackle the tough issues that we face today in our nation.
People my age grew up listening to Paul Harvey. We actually look forward to it to find out what Paul Harvey was going to bring that day to the radio. And Todd kind of reminds me of that. Todd brings some normal perspectives to the conversation with a lot of humor and sincerity.
I appreciate the stand that Todd Starnes takes as a conservative Christian in America. He wants to give anyone who wants to live out their faith in Jesus Christ, he wants to give them a voice.
It's entertaining, it's news, but also it's truth, and that's what we want to know.
It's good to have a voice out there that reflects what we grew up on, our values, our morals, and just that good, solid American background that we want to teach our kids as well.
I believe we are one nation under God. I believe that every single one of our founding documents are flavored by Judeo-Christian values and precepts. And I believe that we have a responsibility as Christians to defend the Constitution, to defend those rights. And if we don't do it, who will? I hope when people hear my commentaries, when they read my books, I hope they are inspired. I hope they are challenged. I hope they are encouraged. But most of all, I hope people know, especially people of faith, that they've got a friend at the Fox News corner of the world.
Amen. Let's welcome Todd to Lancaster Baptist Church this morning. Well, Todd, we are so glad you're back, and last year we heard a little bit of your testimony, how you were saved and got to work in the bus ministry of an independent Baptist church down in Mississippi, and then step by step, God brought you out to Sacramento, and your career began, and now you're in New York City, and I often pray for Todd for his safety and that God would expand his voice. He's a courageous man in many of the things he says, but tell us a little bit about what it's like living in New York City and how God's been working in your life there lately.
Well, Pastor, it's always a blessing to come to Lancaster Baptist Church and this great conference. And I was here last year for the very first time, and I was just so moved that I decided I was going to take vacation time this year to come back to be here at the conference. And the preaching and the teaching has just been simply incredible and a blessing to me personally. And Pastor, your church family has been a blessing to me.
Amen.
And you have as well. So I want to thank you for that. I live among the indigenous liberal population of Brooklyn, New York. It's a little unusual. My mailman says I'm the only member of the National Rifle Association in the zip code. And it is what it is. Somebody asked me at Fox, they said, Todd, why would you do that? Why would you subject yourself to living among people who hate your guts? And I said, well, to truly understand the American liberal, I needed to live in their natural habitat, which is what I do. But it's a lot of fun, Pastor. I live right down the street from the Brooklyn Tabernacle, which I enjoy listening to their choral music, but I really appreciate their ministry. They believe in soul winning. Amen. At the Brooklyn Tabernacle. And every Saturday, right outside of my apartment building, there are brothers and sisters in the Lord, and they are sharing Jesus Christ with the lost in Brooklyn, and they're praying with them, and it's an exciting thing to see. So Amen. The Lord is moving in Brooklyn, New York.
Amen, and we need more churches there. there and all over this country. I wanted to ask you, Todd, of course, if you have not heard Todd's broadcast or seen his television show, you're bringing guests in every day, both elected officials and religious leaders and others who are speaking to the issues of the day. But one of the things that's concerned a lot of us is this Equality Act, and I'd like you to speak about the bill that's passed the Congress. And specifically, I appreciate Todd for his defense of Christian liberty. He's in tune with issues that are directly affecting ministry today. Would you tell us a little bit about some of the dangers of that particular bill?
Absolutely. And it is a very dangerous piece of legislation that has been introduced in the House of Representatives. The Equality Act would, in essence, strip away every protection that Christians and people of faith have under the Constitution. It specifically removes any references to the Religious Restoration Act, which was signed into law by President Clinton back in the 1990s. That would be taken away if, in fact, this bill becomes law. We had a congresswoman on from the state of Missouri on my program just a few days ago. Before she went to Congress, she was a track coach. She said this bill really should be called the Inequality Act, because it is especially, in addition to being an attack on religious liberty, it is a direct assault on women, biological women in America. And to give you an example, in the state of Connecticut, under state high school athletic rules, boys who identify as girls must be allowed to participate on girls' athletic teams. And just a few months ago, the first and second place in the state track championships in Connecticut were boys who identify as girls. So you need to understand what's happening here. This is a very dangerous piece of legislation, and we're doing our best on my programs at Fox News to let people of faith know about this. It's ironic, Pastor, and it's a very peculiar thing when you have radical feminists coming alongside the evangelical Christians to fight a piece of legislation. But that's it's interesting. Politics makes us strange bedfellows sometimes.
Tell us about your two books that you've written, but then speak about some of the content of the new book on the culture jihad.
Well, I'm very excited about that. I have this is book number 5 for me. The last book was The Deplorable's Guide to Making America Great Again. If the other side had won, we were going to call the book We're Doomed America, Your Guide to a Happy Apocalypse. My titles are always subtle, Pastor.
Yes,
very subtle book titles. That book was actually based on a sermon that Adrian Rogers, one of my favorite pastors, delivered back in the 1990s about what does it mean to be a good Christian citizen in America. And if you've read my books, those of you from the South, you know a guy named Louis Grizzard, who is a Southern humorist. I grew up loving to read Louis Grizzard and Irma Bombeck, who is a favorite writer of mine. And so I'm sort of a fusion of those two. So there's a lot of humor in my books, but there's also a lot of serious content as well. And the new book coming out is, it'll be in stores September the 10th. It's called Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. And the reason I wrote that book is over the past year, I've noticed some very dangerous trends developing in this country. The rise of socialism, the rise of the attacks on religious liberty. Just a few days ago, I wrote about our sister in the Lord, Baronel Stutzman, a fellow Baptist from Washington State, a florist who refused to participate in a same-sex wedding ceremony. The Supreme Court rejected her case, sent it back to the Washington State Supreme Court, and just a few days ago, the Washington State Supreme Court ruled unanimously that she violated the law by not participating in that gay marriage. And as a result of that ruling, she faces the loss of her home, her business, and her life savings. This is a 70-plus-year-old Baptist grandmother. So these fights continue. I document all of these in the book, and it's so important because these are stories that are not covered in the mainstream media, and they're stories that impact every single one of us, our children and our grandchildren. So we're really hoping, my publisher, Simon & Schuster, has they're trying to get folks to pre-order the book, and so you can go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your books, and you can get yourself a copy of that.
And I hope you'll do that. You know, one of the things that's disturbing at times is how uninvolved, and I don't want to say uncaring, but how uninvolved pastors are with respect to A, knowing what's happening, and B, at least voicing out to our elected officials our displeasure with who they're putting on the courts or how they're voting in these particular areas. And I believe that as pastors, it is our duty to know the issues and not necessarily to speak out every week and in to the neglect of the gospel, but we need to educate people with respect to what does the Bible say about this issue. This summer in our church, we're going to have a series of messages on current events. What does the Bible say about abortion? What does the Bible say about homosexuality? What does the Bible say about recreational drug use? What does the Bible say about purity? And all of these different topics are needed and helpful, and really our members want to know what the Bible says. I met Todd because he ran a story that dealt with a situation here in our city where a young child was told he couldn't bring little cards with Bible stories to talk to his friends at lunch. He wasn't passing out mass distribution of tracts, just sharing little Bible stories at lunch with his friends. And not only did the principal tell him to stop doing that, they sent the police to his house, an 8-year-old boy. And when I read the story, I said to our secretaries, run that boy's name through our record. Sure enough, he had been saved on the bus ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church. And we held a press conference and protested that treatment of that child. Through that, we were able to meet the superintendent of schools. Through that, we were able to invite he and his wife to church. And through that, my wife and I were able to lead them both to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we can look at this and get disgusted and talk to our fellow Baptist about it over a Chick-fil-A sandwich, or we can actually get involved. We can actually do something. And if you don't follow Todd on social media, it's often good for a laugh. It's often good for an educational moment to know what's going on. And it's something that I believe has been a help to me to stay current. And Todd, I want to thank you. I want to ask all of you to pray for this man. Well, everyone's probably real friendly to him at Fox and so forth, and not everyone there is a Baptist and a believer. I want you to know that I've been there with him, and yet he keeps smiling, and he keeps speaking the truth in love, and I just appreciate so much your stand and your testimony. Go by and see him at his table, and let him know you appreciate his voice. Do you understand that we should be appreciative of voices like this for righteousness in this day? We really should be, and if you have time tomorrow at 2:30. They're flying some producers out from Fox, and we're going to do a little town hall recording for them, and I invite you to be a part of that. And I'd like to have a word of prayer for you, Todd, if we can do that right now as well. Father, we thank you that you have placed your hand upon Todd Starnes and that you have put him in a place where he can be a voice for righteousness, and someone that reminds us even just how to pray or who to call or who to share the gospel with. And I pray that you would keep him in health, protect him, guide him, and use him for your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you thank Todd for being with us today? Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it.